Let's pray. As the words of Psalm 19 say, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And may we be open to hear your words that refresh our soul and transform us in your likeness. Amen. Choices, choices. I wonder how many choices you have already made this morning and what motivates your choices. I'm not saying that God helps us necessarily decide what toothpaste to buy and use in the morning or those kinds of choices, but the choices I'm talking about are the choices that take you in different directions in life. You see, from the moment God called Abraham, Abraham chose to listen, follow, and obey. He was on a journey, and we're all on a faith journey with God. You see, his journey wasn't just a physical one that took him from Ur initially and then to Haran, and then from Haran to Shechem and on into Canaan, but it was a spiritual one too. See, he'd been called by God, a God he didn't know. He'd never known this God before. Do you remember from last week, Paul talked about how in Ur, they worshipped the moon god. God was new to Abraham. Our God that we know as the creator and sustainer of the world, our God that we know his plan was fulfilled through Jesus, we have that privilege. But Abraham did not know. He was just discovering who God is. He was on a spiritual journey alongside the physical one. You see, Abraham is this man of great faith that is remembered in the New Testament as being this amazing man of faith. And he began where we all begin, not knowing God. You see, alongside his physical journey, Abraham built altars to the Lord on the way, calling on the name of the Lord, choosing to turn to God to worship him. He went on an epic journey, and we're on epic journeys together. I went on an epic journey around 10 years ago. I went to New Zealand and with Operation Mobilization on a three-month mission trip, discipleship and evangelism training course. So we hiked the length and breadth of both the South and North Islands in New Zealand. There was a team of seven of us from around Europe, all in our sort of 20s, and we got to know each other pretty well. Cooking, cleaning, doing laundry together, you soon got to know what items of clothing belonged to who, and I will stop there. But not only did we get to know each other, I really got to know God. I got to know God so much deeper, having lessons and learning and everyday teaching, and just being in an amazing environment where I got to see God's beauty and creation. And I almost, in one sense, wonder if this is what Abraham's walking this land. He's on this physical journey and encountering God along the way, seeing who God is, learning more about putting his trust in him. I made big choices after that adventurous journey. It led me to further mission and overseas work and eventually here to ordained ministry. I've been on a journey. And Abraham was on that epic journey, discovering more and more who God is. And we're on that journey together. And so today, as we explore Abraham's journey, I want us to consider, well, what does it teach us about our own journey and walk with God? What does it teach us about how Abraham chose? How can we make decisions? What does it mean to truly trust God and believe the promises that we're given? In our passage today, we see the choices that Abraham makes. If you do have your Bibles open, it might be helpful to have them to hand. See, he chooses to call on the name of the Lord in verse 4. He chooses to be generous and let nephew choose the best land. And he chooses to continue trusting in God to fulfill his promises. See, his choices were influenced by his knowledge of God, his encounters with God, his relationship with God. Abraham started the journey back in chapter 12. We read in verse 1 that he first encounters God there, and he makes a choice to follow God. We read on in verse 4 of chapter 12. And then as we read on, he encounters God again at Shechem, and he builds an altar there and worships God. And then Abraham continues on his journey, where he builds another altar between Bethel and Ai, or Ai, and worships God again. Calls on the name of the Lord before travelling on to the Negev. And then from verse 10 onwards, we have this story that there's a famine that is in the land where they are in the Negev. And so they travel to Egypt. Egypt is known for its lushness and its fertile land and for providing food. And so they travel there. And then Abraham chooses to lie. He doesn't trust God will come through on his promises. God says to him, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. You will have lots of offspring. They'll be as numerous as filling this whole land will be yours. Later on, he talks about the stars, but he hadn't talked about that this bit. But God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. Now, I don't know, I'm sure Abraham was aware, but for that to happen and him to have children, he needed to be alive. And yet he lies because he wants to protect his own life. He doesn't trust God to do it for him. In this account in chapter 12, his wife is really beautiful. Sarah is known for her beauty. And he thought, if they know that she's my wife, they're going to kill me. So if I lie and say she's my sister, then we'll be treated well and that won't be a problem. So he lies. And you might think on the surface, on the face of it, that he does very well. He gets male and female sheep and goats and donkeys and servants and camels. He accrues wealth. But then we get to verse 17 of chapter 12. And it says, but the Lord inflicted serious disease on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife Sarai. You see, God was saying, this is not right, Abraham. And so the Egyptians saw this thing happen and go, what have you done to us? What have you inflicted on us? And so they kick Abraham out of their country, sending them on their way. Abraham had received that promise, and yet he hadn't trusted it. And it's in this context that we find themselves back in the Negev and then carrying on back to Bethel and Ai. See, we need the events of chapter 12, that encounter with Egypt when he hadn't trusted God or made the right choices and had trusted in his own ability to deceive to get by, in order to really fully grasp this change that occurs in this chapter, this development of his trust and his faith journey. You see, he goes back from Egypt to the Negev, and then to Bethel Ai, and the physical steps are not the only thing that he's retracing, because when he gets between Bethel and Ai again, he goes back to that altar. He goes back to calling on the name of the Lord. And there's that sense that he realizes what he's done. He realizes that he needs to ask for forgiveness, to come back and reconnect with the God that has called him to follow him. There's this parallel between the physical and the spiritual. This journey is restarting again. He's calling on the name of the Lord and asking to keep going with him. I wonder if that's true for any of us here today, that we have a real need and a sense within us that we want to reconnect with God again, that we want to get back on track. It might be that we've made a choice that we wish we hadn't, or that we're just desperate for more of God, to know him better. Let's make that decision to call on the name of the Lord and come back to him. But I also wonder that this sense of Abraham calling on the name of the Lord wasn't just for forgiveness and reconnection, but also because he'd seen God's power at work. He'd seen that this God who's called him and asked him to follow him, and that he would give him the nations and make him great, this God could inflict disease on Egypt. This God is a God of power. And Abraham's worshipping and acknowledging that God is a God of power and is able to do more than we can imagine. So he wanted to get to know God better, to recalibrate, to worship him and recognize who God is. Because he's just learning. He's learning who God is. Are we learning who God is? Are we getting to know God better? Are we opening ourselves up to learning more about who he is in our lives? Acknowledging that we don't always get it right. We don't always choose the way of God. But as we get to know him better, we learn more about who God is and where he's at work in his world. You see, it's a choice to worship God, to acknowledge him and call on his name. And that choice leads to transformation. When you spend time with someone, you often become like them. You might have sort of the same mannerisms or become interested in the same things or take more of a look at something that they really enjoy too. You join in. In my adventures in New Zealand, I've learnt games and board games that I would never have encountered anywhere else, because different countries, we have our board games, don't we? And you learn when you mix with other people. You take on other people's interests and attitudes. See, in the New Testament, there's the sense that that's what happens as we draw close to God, as we get to know him. We become transformed into his image, in his likeness. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, we read, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And again in Ephesians, it says, "When you heard about Jesus, you were taught with him in accordance with truth. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in attitude of your minds, putting on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." See, by spending time with God, getting to know God better, I believe Abraham was changing and transforming. And that helped in the situation that he was faced with his nephew Lot. You see, he had a dilemma. The passage tells us that they were growing too much in number. They were growing too much in number, and the land couldn't sustain them. So it was inevitable that they were going to have to split ways. And so arguments break out, and Abraham has got to the point where he has to make a choice of how to deal with this situation. You see, as the elder in the relationship, he had every right to choose the best land for himself, and yet he forfeits that right, allowing Lot to choose. And unsurprisingly, Lot chooses the most fertile land. But Abraham chose the way of generosity, of thinking about the other in that situation, of understanding God's generosity to him and allowing that generosity to be given to someone else. See, as he's spending time with God, calling on the name of the Lord, traveling with God on this pilgrimage that he's on, he's understanding God's nature better, and that's reflecting in the choices and decisions he makes. He chose to be generous. His nephew chose different. We're not going to focus on Lot this morning, but if you noticed in the passage, he'd moved away when they separated towards the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, that area of land that was associated with evil. He'd not made choices that kept him in track with God. He'd chosen his way, and Abraham had chosen his. He'd chosen to acknowledge who God was and to follow him, to believe and trust in his promises and to be transformed in his likeness. How are we seeing our lives transformed? Do we find ourselves coming across problems or issues at work and we handle them in a different way because of what we hear on a Sunday or what we read in our own Bible or what we hear God saying to us? Do we really spend time getting to know God better? I'm assuming that some of us, if we are, we're here. We're here worshiping God. How can we continue to dig deeper, to get to know God better through prayer, through worship, through reading God's word? How can we make choices that reflect God's generosity to us in the way that we are generous to others? You see, Abraham's choices were motivated by his relationship with God. But this led to him, almost you might say, missing out on the fertile land. He let Lot choose. And Lot chose. Too many O's and not enough O's. Chose. Lot chose the best. Lot was motivated by greed, and we've seen that led to actions later on in the Bible when we follow the story there. As I was preparing this message, though, I was wondering, well, I wonder if Abraham was a bit disappointed, even if it was for a moment, that they have this land and that the best stuff is taken. And maybe it was a bit like, God, I don't see those promises coming through. How are we going to survive? This isn't great soil or land. Wonder if there was a glimmer of disappointment. You see, Abraham could have dwelt on missing out on the best land. He could have gone, oh, why did I make that decision? Why was I trying to be generous? He could have done that. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But if he was, that didn't last long. Because as we read on in chapter 13, we see that his choice of generosity and selflessness led to another encounter with God. Him and Lot parted ways, and he encounters God again. And God expands on the promises that he's already given Abraham. He says that the land, as far as the eye can see, to the north, to the east, to the south, to the west, will be Abraham's land, will be the land of his descendants. And he says that if you could count dust, that would be as many as Abraham's ancestors. See, as God and Abraham were on a journey together, the promises were growing. They were getting more detailed and refined, and Abraham could see more clearly. It was the beginning of a journey, and it was ongoing. God was blessing Abraham with the whole land, and he wanted Abraham to enjoy it and said, wander over it, see what I've given you. And Abraham builds an altar again and worships the Lord. In the New Testament, we're promised and told that because of God's love for his world, Jesus was sent to the world. His only son was sent to the world that whoever believes in him would not die but have eternal life. This is the ultimate blessing we get to enjoy. The ultimate promised land. Do we take pleasure in and enjoy all that we've been given in our lives that God's given us? Do we take seriously the promise of eternal life? Enjoying our life now, but also living a life, knowing God, obeying his call, and looking at the blessings now and to come. You see, in conclusion, Abraham chose to follow God. His faith grew. He went on both a physical and spiritual journey with God. Now, we are at different points in our journey, if you're watching online or you are here with us. Are we going to choose to follow God, coming to him when we don't get it right? Are we going to choose to make time to worship and know God better? Are we going to choose to live a life of transformation that reflects his love and generosity? We have a generous God. Are we going to choose to keep walking with him, even past possible disappointments, to the blessings that he will bring? What can we do to keep going with God? My prayer for us this morning is this, that like Abraham, as we know God better, we turn to him when we might get it wrong. We choose to get to know him better and grow our trust in his promises. We transform our motives and attitudes and choices, and we see that as we keep walking with God, even in disappointments, so that we would see the final blessings of a life with God for all eternity. So that is my prayer for me and my prayer for you. Amen.